This is CKLB, the voice of Den and Day.
I'm Stacey Arden-Smith, and you're listening to Take the Road Less Traveled, but Always Wear Good Moccasins.
My name is Shane Medrick-Chartrand. I am from the Miskolcik Enoch Cree tribe out of Edmonton, Alberta, and I represent Nahiyaw cuisine.
I've had the opportunity to watch your career, see some of the articles that came out about you, but I want to know how your journey has been so far. How did you get to this point?
It was all by dreams, of course. Whether people believe in dreaming being a part of their life, I do. I think if you dream enough about what you want to do, it's sort of the same old thing as, you know, I want to be on TV, I want to be on TV, I want to be on TV. Say that 10 times, the next thing you know, your rhythms start changing. But I don't believe in that necessarily in that regard. I believe it in a spiritual and a dreaming kind of way. Whatever you want, you will get, but you've got to be careful with what you want, as you know. So I always wanted to be on TV, but I'm going to tell you something. Television was never really meant for me to become famous. Famous is not what I am. And in the culinary world, a lot of people say, oh my God, he's so famous. This guy's been on all these shows, 9 shows, 2 documentaries, cookbook, blah, blah, and he's traveled the world, Egypt, Cairo, and I've cooked in New York City, LA, and New York, all over. But the whole reason why I got into TV was because I wanted to not be expendable, really. Like there's so many people in the food and beverage world that hated it back then when I was younger, but it was a job you could get without having to go to school. Mm-hmm. You literally could go to culinary school and not pay a dime for it, and you would be fully trained. When I was 19 years old, my first year of school was fully paid for by the government. Wow. Not by Indigenous at all. It had nothing to do with being Indigenous. It's just that no one signed up for it.
Why do you think that was?
Nobody thought it was... No, back then, it was not considered a career. It was a woman's job. That's horrible. And it's weird because, like, in the professional world back then, when I was, like, 19, like, 30 years ago, really, that's not that long ago when we're sitting there talking about home cookings for women but professional cookings for men, which is strange. Mm-hmm. But they expected their food on the table when they got home. It was just a backwards world. But that's just the way it was back then. So it's not right or wrong anymore because it doesn't exist anymore. But that's what got me into food and beverage, because I love the heat, I love the passion, I love the slam, I love the conversation, I love the way things looked, I like the pirates that were in the kitchen, literally pirates, you know, just a bunch of really rough, tattooed-looking, beat-up dudes, and that was the world I wanted, was just that heat, that sweaty kitchen awesomeness, and yeah, that was what really got me into it. And then I asked to become a cook, and then they said, no, you're far too young. They said, next year. I said, okay, I'll do dishes for a year. They said, sure. And I literally scrubbed dishes for a year. And I'm not kidding you. I was on a farm, mm-hmm. and I went to school in the day. I came home, went to work at night, rode my mountain bike all the way home, about 4 miles home. And then showered, went to bed, and then did it all again all the way for one full year.
What did you learn within that year of just doing the repeat?
I just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed the whole, all the equipment. I enjoyed cooking. I enjoyed that the owners weren't there. They would just trusted us in this massive kitchen. No direction at all. Just go and see how it goes. That's wild, man. That's crazy for people to just let a bunch of kids run an entire kitchen. I mean, it was so greasy spoon. I remember, this is a terrible story, but I remember we're mixing burger meat and we all ended up with spots in our arms the next day from something from the meat. And we sold out. We sold out of all the meat.
Oh, no.
You know, like, I mean, it was there's story after story. Like, but then from there I went and then started wanting to become a chef. So I had to go for training, of course. Mm-hmm. So I went to Nate Edmonton. I passed all that. And then I went to bigger restaurants. I only went to one chain restaurant. And then after that, I went to fine dine. And then I just tried to experience everything I could possibly do for the next 5 years. Sushi bars to hotels to bistros, fine dine, boutique hotels, big, huge restaurants. I would do like 800 seatings a night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 800 people back in the 90s. It's not wild.
That is ridiculously wild.
Yeah, and they'd line up. We'd just sit there and it would just get lined up. So yeah, that's kind of how my world went back then.
Yeah.
From there, decided, well, now it's what I do? So after culinary school, you got to realize me and you, let's say you wanted to go to culinary school as well. What is it going to make me or you better if your marks are better than mine? How am I going to stand out? Like, who am I going to be? Mm-hmm. Who are you going to be? Like, so once you finish every single thing, are we all just chefs? That's not good enough for me. I love art.
Yeah.
I love music. I like emotion. I'm an Aries. Kind of explained a little bit. And I was still pretty young. Like, I was 26, and I was still just trying to figure out where I'm supposed to be. And then from there, I decided, well, you know, I'm going to start traveling because I'm a farm kid. I've never traveled outside of, you know, Canada ever. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to try to explore things and see what I can find and do. And I'm scared, but I've got nothing to lose.
Did you get jobs while you were on the way to places, or how did that work?
I do contract work.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Yellowknife, that was contract. I was paid to go there.
Oh, okay.
But you got to realize I was also a different person. I was also a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 26 years old, I was a nobody, absolute nobody. So how am I going to start that? I don't know how this begins. And so what I had to start doing was literally upping my game in culinary arts and getting into competition and then meeting all the rich and famous people. Like, what I mean by rich and famous people, I'm not talking about like later on in life when I was cooking for like Justin Trudeau or Mike Tyson or cook for the Pope in Cairo. And but then that's basically how I did it, was just started to do contract work and free work, and I started signing up to do events, and I was just getting better as a chef. Mm-hmm. And competition was helping because I was winning. Almost every competition I was in, I was winning. Then it began.
And do you think that was kind of like your defining moment, is when you started winning these competitions?
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I was able to start reaching out to more people, because people would eat my food and they would be like, who are you? Where'd you come from? A lot of people found out I was Indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, just so you know, a lot of racism along the way. It was hard because like I struggled through it. Like even at that very first Greasy Spoon place, I mean, those guys were like very clear racist. Yeah, to people pushing me around and trying to pick fights that were a heck of a lot bigger than me. I just didn't take it. I couldn't take it. I didn't beat anyone up. I've never been a big guy, but I'm somewhat fearless when it comes to silliness like that. You just overcome. You don't stop. But anyway, so I did start making a really good name for myself. And I was very proud of it because I didn't have anyone to look up to. My dad is my real hero, my real mentor. Mm-hmm. But my dad doesn't know anything about food. He knows. My dad taught me like food like me and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Outdoor food, elk, moose, hunting, fishing, stuff like that. I mean, competition, culinary arts, foie gras, duck goose, like all the stuff that I've done over the years, my plating style, the way I am as a human being. I believe I'm an artist in my own way. Culinary arts is called that name for a reason.
It is, you know, art. It totally is an art. You are absolutely an artist. That is an art form, hands down.
Yeah. Well, I think so too. And then after competition, I won a bunch of trophies, a bunch of awards, a bunch of ribbons. And then I'm like, okay, so this world's done. I still compete, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also lost a lot since I've won a lot. When you win, you lose. You have to sign up for both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of great Asian chefs out there. There's a lot of great French chefs out there, and et cetera, et cetera. Is there a lot of Indigenous chefs? No, there's not.
Which makes you very unique in itself, so.
No, yeah. So that's kind of the deal. Like, you really just got to believe in yourself, not necessarily just your roots, because like now I represent myself as a Nehiyaw. Nehiyaw is the real word for Cree. And so it took about 12 to 15 years study of Indigenous arts, Indigenous dancing, music, All that stuff for me to even understand what that looks like. And by the way, I was adopted. I came from a Métis family. I was adopted at the age of 7. And so I couldn't celebrate Indigenous food back then because I didn't know what I was. Mm-hmm. So I just literally just accepted the fact that I love Asian and Japanese culture. And I think if there's any culture that would be the closest to ours, that would be probably it. So I really harnessed the spirituality of what they do and then kind of pushed that into like my food in regards to presentations. Mm-hmm. And then when I found out I was from the Enochry Nation in my late 20s, then it was like really catch-up time.
And how was that experience for you then? Like, did you kind of engulf yourself in with your people or?
I certainly did get to know everybody from there, but more so, not even really my family, because my family all passed away. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really get to meet any of my family. It was more so now, ask a lot of questions. So that's why now more than ever, I do so much travel because I can celebrate other nations. And that's just what I do now. That's exactly all I do. And I wrote a cookbook that's an award-winning book in chapters called Tawau Progressive Indigenous Cuisine. Yeah, the more people listen, the more people watch, the happier I am because I'm doing what I'm told to do, I believe, by the Creator. Hopefully one day the whole world wakes up and sees it and then understands that it was never just music and dance and hair that was taken away from us. Food was too. That's why you see all these people making bannock. It is not us. That's not saying that it doesn't belong to us now because we inherited it, I believe. Mm-hmm. Bannock is on my menu at my cafe, mm-hmm. but I don't celebrate it. So I'm gentle about the conversation, but overall, I think the wild game, the hunting, what comes from this land, chaga, Haskap berries, Saskatoons. But yeah, so that's kind of how things have erupted.
Okay. At what point in your career did you realize that you made it?
I don't think I have made it. I don't know. I don't know if I have enough time in my life to make it where I want to make it, but I'm hoping that there will be a time. Like, I'm not fulfilled yet. Like, I would love to go back up to your region because I never got to explore anything with anyone.
Man. And that's, yeah, no, that should be a mandatory in your contract.
That's exactly it. So there's a lot of places like that. I'd love to go way up north, Northwest Territories, way, way, way up north. And anyway, I saw a caribou run. I thought that was insane. That was in the Yukon. Where was that? To witness all that stuff, that's what I want to see. Mm-hmm. I want to hear the stories of that. I want to know how the people are. That's the fulfilling part, and that's what I'm not getting enough of. Yeah, I do a lot of reach outs too. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of magazines and a lot of really cool features I've been part of. And then, of course, there's television. So 9 shows later, I won Fridge Wars. I was on Iron Chef. Iron Chef was my absolute famous, because who doesn't want to be an Iron Chef?
Right? Although, like, what's the prestige with an Iron Chef?
If you were to beat an Iron Chef, it's the whole fact that you beat an Iron Chef. It's just chefs being chefs. Like, there's things that we love, and everybody always wanted to be Iron Chef America. Mm-hmm. And then it came to Canada, and we're like, oh, my God. And then the coolest part about that is I never applied for that position. Like, I never applied to compete. They called me.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, isn't that even better? And then I did Indigenous food, 4-course Indigenous food.
That is insane. I'm definitely going to have to look that one up.
Yeah, I looked a lot different.
So when you're at home, what is a comfort food for you? What is your go-to comfort meal that you cook for you?
Go-to comfort food for me would be something as simple as spaghetti.
Really? Okay.
But it's never really that simple.
How so?
Yesterday I made spaghetti with stewed tomatoes, sumac, garlic, salt, pepper, obviously, and then sometimes I'll do baked jumbo meatballs.
Ooh.
But it's weird how that works, because if you bake them too high and they don't have enough adhesiveness to them, they'll fall apart.
Oh yeah.
And then it just turns into a bolognese sauce, sort of. But bolognese sauce actually comes with a lot of training. Bolognese sauce, meat sauce, is actually a very hard, complicated sauce to make if you were to make it professional, not just ground beef and onions.
Good to know.
It is. It's a process. Red wine reduction, like, there's a lot to it. But yeah, everything that is really delicious has a reason why it's so delicious. I'm always cooking every night at home. Excellent. And I cook as professional as I do in the restaurants, as close to as I can. My knife collection's probably 10 grand. Yeah. So yeah, maybe spaghetti, spaghetti with a really, really well-made tomato sauce. I like, oddly enough, I like making salads.
Okay, like your traditional salad?
It depends. Like last night I made a taco salad, but not your basic restaurant taco salad. Obviously, I don't have a deep fryer to make a big taco bowl and all that silliness, and I wouldn't even do it even if I did. The idea of that is it's about how you cut the vegetables in different directions and different sizes to make textures different. Mm-hmm. So, like, and think outside the box, like add mint, add basil, like mint. Think about that. You're adding mint to a salad? Absolutely. Add basil to your salad. Add tomatoes. Mix up your dressings. Mix up your ingredients. Like, salads are the ultimate opportunity for you to just be the most creative because it's cheaper and it doesn't take so much heat and you're not going to burn anything, really. Hopefully not. right now it's really deep in corn salad. I just made last week. That was really delicious. So there you go. That's kind of what I've got over 150 cookbooks. I look at them. I get inspired by one picture. And like next thing you know, I'm making steak tartare for a family appetizer, family snack, whatever. And then I'm on my merry way.
And that's mind-blowing. Like, we just had a conversation on your comfort food, and you just went off on all the yumminess in the whole wide world, and that shows me passion right there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it, and love hearing your story. It's amazing.
Thank you so much.
I've been getting around.